Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Actually News for the 7th of May, 2012. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I am tired.
We should explain to people that it is deep, deep, deep dark in the middle of the night when we're recording this. And that's dedication for you. This is the week's entertainment news as told by us, which means we don't take anything too particularly seriously. We like to do the news loud, fast, and under 30 minutes or your money back. So this show will never be over 30 minutes long. And we're going to get started with Josh. The Daredevil reboot is Daredevil reboot. Let me say that one more time. The Daredevil reboot is still in the works.
This just keeps amazing me. How long are we going to keep stringing this thing along?
Look, I think it really is just a ditch effort from Fox to keep the rights to it. They just have to keep something in production. I don't know if we're ever going to see the film. But at the moment, the where it stands, if you're keeping score, David Slade, who directed 30 Days of Night and the Eclipse film, that Twilight film, is still attached to direct at this point. And we've now got a new writer coming on. So they're actually rewriting the script one more time, and this time it's being written by David James Kelly, who has come on to try and give it one more pass. Still no talk about anything to do with casting or anything like that. But yes, a Daredevil reboot is still in the works. Fox has come out and said, yes, it's still going to happen. And now they've actually got the Fantastic Four reboot kind of moving with Josh Trank attached to it, which I love the fact that he's attached to it after saying he had no idea about it.
Maybe he did have no idea about it, but they had decided he was going to be a part of it.
They just decided for him, apparently.
It happens.
So we've got Fox still trying to hold on to those rights desperately over there because they know that Marvel stuff is making a fortune and they want a piece of it. They just don't seem to know how to do it.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one, though, because it's so weird to think about where you would take it, because it's a film that has a possibility to go somewhere, but it's so hard to figure out where that is.
Well, I think you're right, and I think Daredevil's got a long history, and so you got to pick your moment, basically, of where you want to pick up a Daredevil film. This one that they're working on, apparently, is the Born Again storyline, which is the Frank Miller storyline.
Jesus, that would be different.
That would be different, and that would be dark, and that actually has potential because it's actually a really good comic book series. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Frank Miller stuff, I mean, unless he's actually involved in it, I don't know if they'll just water him down, won't they?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
They don't have a long history of doing dark films, so
no, just saying. Yeah, they haven't actually had much luck, except for the X-Men. They haven't had much luck. Well, even with the X-Men, it's a hit and miss, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, speaking of superheroes, Josh, the Avengers.
I just wanted to make a special note just to say that the Avengers has broken the all-time domestic box office opening weekend gross, which I think is awesome.
That's fantastic.
I just wanted to give him credit. I was just like, well done.
I think it's fantastic. And as we're speaking about this right now, I actually haven't looked at the numbers. I'm actually heading over to Box Office Mojo right now. Shall we get a latest tally?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Drum roll. Okay. $220 million production budget. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is currently taken. Let's see. It opened in Australia. It opened worldwide a week ago. It opened in America on Friday. Okay, so bear in mind, this is a film that has only been in release in America for 3 days, and it's been released in the rest of the world for 7 days. It has taken so far $641 million.
I think you guys made your money back.
I think you've done it. So I think Joss Whedon has finally got his first bona fide cinema
Can I
hit.
Just say life achievement unlocked?
Oh, that's brilliant. You just want it to pop up at the bottom of the screen, don't you? Oh, that's brilliant. Congratulations, Mr. Whedon. Fantastic stuff. We actually have a couple more Avengers things to talk about. While we're speaking of the Avengers things, it's taking the world by storm. Have you actually met a person yet, Josh, that has hated it?
No, I've heard a person that said it was all right, and I proceeded to then destroy them.
I've heard a couple of people kind of go, yeah, it was good, it was all right, and I've never heard anybody say it was bad. I haven't heard anybody say it was crap yet, which is unusual. You always hear at least one person go, oh yeah, it's not that guy.
I'm waiting for that guy because I want to start a fight with him.
We got our work cut out with Richard, like, by the way. Like, did you read Richard's review?
Like, it's a whole thing where it's like, I don't mind people saying that they didn't like it or that they, you know, it's not really their cup of tea or something. But if somebody's going to tell me that that film was bad, then I really want to know what they think a good film is like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to know exactly why they thought it was bad. And don't just give me, oh, it's silly, it's superheroes. I want to know why you thought the film was bad. You know what I mean? Because when we look at it as just a straight up action film, it's got a lot going for it. Apparently, there was half an hour cut out of this movie. I want to see the uncut version. Wow. And the reason we know that there was actually stuff cut out of it was because Mark Ruffalo was actually interviewed on Collider this week, and it's a very interesting interview. Now, I just grabbed a soundbite out of it, and I thought I'd play it really quickly here because we just a little bit of history. Feige, however you say his name, the head of Marvel Studios, basically said they weren't interested in doing another Hulk movie. Remember? And now that the Avengers has come out and has made a buck ton of money, and in particular, people are basically saying the Hulk rocks. And the Hulk is amazing, and this is the Hulk they always wanted, and Ruffalo is amazing as Banner, suddenly the tune is changing. And Feige, or Feige, or however you say his name, has basically already come out and said, yeah, there might be another Hulk movie. So they're actually thinking about it as well. And Mark Ruffalo said this about his contract, which I thought was very interesting.
Definitely want to ask you, every Marvel movie or every Marvel actor signs on, they do like a multi-picture deal. I'm sure they signed you for a billion movies. I'm sure you were a little nervous.
Six, yes.
Exactly. Were you a little bit like, now after you've seen the movie, you're like, I can make a lot more of these?
Definitely. And, you know, the experience, too, was great. I really had a good time, and it was fun, and I loved that group of people.
I want to ask you about deleted scenes. Joss told me there's 30 minutes that's going back in the Blu-ray DVD.
Or
deleted scenes that'll be on the Blu-ray DVD. Great. I wanted to know if you had any
that
you could talk about.
There's a great scene with me and Harry Dean Stanton that is it's the elongated version of him finding me. That is such a great scene. It was so heartbreaking to see it go. I knew exactly why it had to go, but Harry Dean Stanton is so beautiful in this scene, and it's such a great moment for Banner, a real like shift for him. It's his come to Jesus moment of the movie.
Now, for those who are wondering who Harry Dean Stanton is, I know you know, Josh, but for those who are wondering, it's the scene where he lands, not spoiling anything too much, where he lands where he lands as Hulk, and basically he's woken up naked, and that the old guard basically gives him the clothes. That's Harry Dean Stanton. So apparently there's more to that scene. And what he says in this interview, if you actually watch the whole thing, is basically that is actually a really important scene in the film because it's actually his big turning point. Because if you've seen the film, it does feel like there is something missing from him going apeshit in the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier to him turning up at the battle at the end. And as to why he comes back. And apparently it's that scene that plays a big part in this, and they had to cut it from the film. So I really want to see the rest of that scene. So 30 minutes will go onto the Blu-ray, whether they reintegrate it into the film or whether we see it as deleted scenes. I really hope they reintegrate it. I want to see the director's cut.
Yeah, me too.
I think that would be fantastic. But anyway, the first part of that was the important part. Six films, Josh. he's been signed to six films. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner and his incarnation of the Hulk, which I am all for.
No, I would watch that.
Absolutely. All right. So we've got a couple things about Evil Dead here. Now, I'll start us off because your story is the update.
It's more the update than anything, which is the fact that, shall I break into that or should we do that afterwards?
Let's do the first one first, because basically Sam Raimi he's suing another company because he actually stated in an interview that he was not interested in revisiting the Evil Dead films. This is going back a while. Right. And another company took that as basically saying that it was an abandoned works. And in copyright law, that basically says you can pick it up. Okay. Right. So they are going ahead and making an Evil Dead sequel, a fourth Evil Dead film, right? And they want to come back and do this sequel. Now, Sam Raimi has now sued them, basically saying, you can't do that because this is my films and I'm doing a reboot. So they are now basically locked in a legal battle with this other company. I think they're called Film District or something like that, who are basically going, they're planning on making a fourth Evil Dead.
Right.
But Sam Raimi is doing, he's producing a remake of his original Evil Dead. God, it gets complicated. You've got an update.
The update is, of course, that the Evil Dead has started shooting in Auckland in New Zealand.
So in other words, Sam Raimi said, screw you, I'm making my movie anyway. Good for him. I didn't know they were planning on shooting in New Zealand.
Yes, but there you go. It's happened and it's already started.
So
you're behind the times, Dave. Catch up.
So in other words, Sam Raimi put his thumb to his nose and went... to whoever these other people
are. He took a leaf out of Peter Jackson's book and just went and did the movie he wanted to make anyway.
Damn straight. And why shouldn't he? It's his film series, goddammit. All right. Now, you've got something about what is it? Cosmopolis. Thank you.
This is a trailer that's recently came out, and I'm basically just urging people to look it up and just watch the whole trailer. This film looks fucking amazing. This is Cronenberg adapting, I believe it's a book, which is a story about an information trader in kind of the near future where information... Basically, this guy just deals information out of a limo, and that's what he where he lives, sleeps, eats, and everything. And essentially, it's just a look at sort of the burning down of... Like, it's kind of old versus new. Film about our generation. It's like, that's the big words at the end of the thing, says finally a film about our generation, because it's basically at a point where everyone that's decided computers are bad have turned around and started, it looks like from the trailers, rioting in the streets, and everybody else is just moving forward into this information-based world. And, it looks bizarre. It looks very Cronenberg. This is Robert Pattinson as the lead, and he looks absolutely brilliant for this role.
Like, you know you had me at Cronenberg, right? Yeah.
I know I did, but it was more the selling point for everybody else.
Absolutely. No, actually, I knew about this one. I didn't know a trailer had come out for it, so I'm going to have to go track this trailer down, because any Cronenberg is worth having a look at, even if it doesn't quite work. And some of them haven't. Crash. Let's be honest. Right? But there are, and in some ways, let's be honest, what's that other one? The Jude Law one. What's that thing called?
Existence.
That's the one, which is basically a poor man's Videodrome. And that didn't quite work either. But even when he doesn't work, Cronenberg is still interesting.
Yeah.
And that's
I think this is going to be the better side. I really am.
I hope so. I recently watched A Dangerous Method, which was the last film he made. And that was interesting. I don't think it's on the high end of Cronenberg. But it was interesting. Interesting. I will definitely have to check this trailer out. I'll have a look at that. We have some news about Jodie Hill. Now, I don't know how much you know about Jodie Hill. Jodie Hill is a director who made Observe and Report, that Seth Rogen film, which was apparently so dark. I never actually got to see it. But it was like Paul Blart Mall Cop, but with a really dark streak. basically included things like, you know, date rape and all sorts of weird things. And Seth Rogen took kind of a real turn to do that role. Jodie Hill also helped create the series Eastbound and Down. He is directing a new film at the moment, which is at this point untitled. And this article just caught my eye because this is kind of it's one of those films where you say it may or may not be something, you know what I mean? And I just love the way they word this, because this is actually, this article is coming from Heat Vision, which is the Hollywood Reporter, and basically saying that Jodie Hill is writing and is attached to direct an untitled action project set in the American South for Warner Brothers. And you go, okay. And it says, Billy Gerber is attached to produce with Hill. And it says, while the logline is being kept under wraps, the story is set in the 1970s South and involves an outlaw duo. So people are immediately speculating that is this another Dukes of Hazzard movie?
Oh, God.
And they're basically now saying, in this article, they're saying the film is supposed to be a really stylish action movie, much like a Sam Peckinpah film. Mm. And for those who don't know Sam Peckinpah, he basically immortalized slow motion death and things like The Wild Bunch and The Getaway. And they're saying that, you know, are we potentially going to be seeing a Dukes of Hazzard movie done like Sam Peckinpah film? Now, I got to tell you, I'm in if they do that. I want to see the Duke brothers shooting people in slow motion. Come on, don't you?
It would be interesting.
Look, because I didn't like the original series of Dukes of Hazzard, and I really didn't like the movie. But all I can think is Jody Hill is so dark that he might actually make that interesting.
That would definitely be a movie for our generation. I'm just not sure whether or not it would become anything.
Well, yeah, and let's face it, Jody Hill's films don't make huge amounts of money. So Observer and Report did not make a huge amount of money. Eastbound and Down is a cult thing on cable. Danny McBride, I don't know. Have you watched Eastbound and Down?
No, I can't.
You can't.
I can't do it. I've tried. I can't do it.
Fair enough. I've seen one episode and I can understand why, because I think Danny McBride is a very funny guy in a support role, like in Tropic Thunder. But I think he, as a lead, I find him incredibly irritating.
Yeah.
And I kind of, it's hard work getting through an episode of Eastbound and Down because of that. But that's me, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who want to disagree with me. So please do. You can write to us at feedback@filmactually.com. Josh, a new trailer for The Dark Knight came out this week. Brand new trailer. Now, I put this up on geekactually.com because, you know, of course, it's The Dark Knight Rises. You have to put up the trailer, you know? And it's funny because I actually wrote... let's hear a little bit of this trailer, and then I'll talk about it.
Sure. Did they kill him?
I'm not sure.
Huh. Why didn't you just kill me?
Your punishment must be more severe.
Do you think he's coming back?
I don't know.
Why would you run, Bane?
You should be as afraid of him as I am.
I won't bury you. I've buried enough members of the Wayne family.
Okay, and what I wrote about this is a little bit of the trailer for you. What I wrote about was, you know, I was very excited. I thought, new trailer. I watched it, and I thought, you know, after the Avengers, it all just seems a bit dark and dismal. All I could think was somebody turn on a light and speak up. You know? It's like, I don't know how you felt about it. I mean, I'm still excited to see the film. Don't get me wrong, and I'm sure it's going to be brilliant, but...
I don't know. The Avengers has kind of knocked a lot of the steam out for me. Look, I'm not saying it's off my radar in any way or form, but I think the thing for me is that I've just grown a huge excitement for Prometheus. So for me, it's sort of like it's the third tier high action film this year, and it's terrible of me to say that, but realistically, the Avengers was a big psych up and then delivered. Prometheus is looking like it'll be amazing, and then I'm like, oh yeah, and Batman comes out at some stage.
And whoever would have thought we would have thought that way?
Exactly.
I think it's really weird because I just think that I look at it now and I just go, that's not the comic book movie I'm looking for at the moment. And it was a couple of years ago, but now I'm kind of looking for the Avengers. You know, it's like I want to see, you know, ass kicking, you know, people in bright colored costumes and having a lot of fun, you know. And I just I kind of the trailer for The Dark Knight Rises kind of depressed me. You know? I kind of went, really? Although I really do like Bane's voice.
Yeah,
I really do like his voice. Apparently they have pumped up the volume on him a little bit so we can actually hear him talking, because apparently there was problems with that. All right, we got one last thing we got to talk about, which of course, this is spoilers. So we left this to the very end. So if you don't want to hear what we're going to talk about, you may want to end the show now. This is the last thing we're going to talk about. But if you remember last week, we talked about the fact that at the premiere of The Avengers, Robert Downey Jr., throughout this comment, basically saying, oh, we've got to go now because we've got to shoot one more scene.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying, no, it's not really a scene, blah, blah, blah. Well, we now know what it was. and it's not actually in the Australian version. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, those who are listening to the show, you might want to just tune out right now. This is a, you're only going to miss about a minute and a half of show, so don't worry about it. If you want to stay around, and if you're in Australia in particular, and you want to know what you're missing out on, stick around. It's not much. It's not, don't get too excited. But apparently they shot one last spoiler at the end of the credits. They shot another little tag at the end of the credits, which was
sorry, I thought you were going to play it. I was waiting in...
No, we don't have it. It's never been released. Only a photo came out of it.
Yeah.
So a still shot, which you can find online, has actually shown up from that little, and it's really, really, really short, and it's really, really simple. And basically all it is at the very end of the credits, they added one more little scene, which if you remember in the film, Tony Stark says, we should all go get shawarma. I know this little place. And at the very end of the credits, they shot a scene which shows all the Avengers sitting around a table in this diner eating shawarma.
They don't, I knew it would be something simple.
And
I
apparently they don't say a word. They're just sitting around a table eating. And I just, it's all of them. Some of them are in costume, some of them aren't. You know, it's like, I just really want to see this scene now. And it was, it's only for the North American audiences because it was shot after the international prints had already shipped. So so hopefully on Blu-ray, when it comes out Blu-ray, we'll have that scene at the very end. So so there's now two tags at the end of the Avengers to stick around for. But not on the Australian versions. On the Australian versions, you're quite happy to leave the credits after the tag.
Yeah.
Because it's not there. Don't go looking for it. Anyway, I thought I'd just throw that one out there. That's the news for this week. We've got nothing else to add. Josh, where can people find more of you on the internet?
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. Check over there and look at stuff. I kind of screwed that up, and I was like, I'm not going back.
Nah, it's done now. Late. Who cares?
It's done now.
You can find me more of me at geekactually.com or on Twitter at David McVeigh. Now, there has been a slight glitch with our podcasts. You will be hearing this one because we know what it is and we fixed it, which is for some reason I got a message saying that they couldn't get any of our shows.
Right.
They weren't playing, and I went and checked immediately, and yes, they weren't playing. They weren't feeding to iTunes. It has to have happened only in the last couple of days, because last week has hundreds of downloads on film, actually, so, but now it's not feeding. So it obviously sometime in the last couple of days, I finally isolated the problem. One of our stat trackers that actually tracks the stats for our show is not feeding through, so it's halting the podcasts. Yeah. So bastards. I've actually, I went through and just the last couple of episodes of every show, I've gone through and removed their enclosure tag, and the shows are now feeding. So I now have to go through and remove their enclosure tag from every episode that we've ever recorded, which is hundreds of episodes, as you know, Josh. So it's going to take me a while to get through, but we know the problem exists and we are fixing it. So if you are looking for back episodes and they're not feeding through, they will within the next couple of days, because I will have it all sorted out in the next couple of days. It's driving me insane, though.
Crazy.
It is horrible. So if you have been wondering what happened and now we're back up, that's why. Okay, so there you go.
Awesome.
That explains that. That's it. We also normally have a third person on the show. Richard Gray can be found at therealbits.com. He's not here at the moment. He will be back next week or on Twitter at DVDBits. That's it. That's all the news we have for you this week. Josh, I will see you next week.
All right, man.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.